I adjusted it myself.
The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, please.
7:43.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through a public notice on February 19, 2015, faxing to 3 newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administrative office, and in each of the Clinton Township schools. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Justice, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Grant.
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin. Mrs. Hand.
Here.
Mr. Malloy.
Here.
Mrs. McHugh.
Here.
Mr. McKiernan.
Present.
Mr. Petuto.
Here.
Mr. Sturgis. Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. McHugh, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, would you serve as the process guardian for this evening, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the special meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, March 16, 2015. Tonight, Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz, our business administrator, will present to the Board of Education a preliminary budget for the 2015-16 school year. I'd like to briefly summarize the process that the board has gone through that has permitted us to reach this point this evening. The Facilities and Finance Committee, along with Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz, started working on the budget in the October timeframe. Other committees, like our Policy and Curriculum and Personnel Negotiation Committees, also met to talk about specific needs within their committee's area of responsibility, and they provided feedback to those working on the budget. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on numerous occasions to discuss various aspects of the budget. On March 9th, 2015, Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz reviewed with the board and members of the public the process that they go through to formulate a needs-based budget. Last week, Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz presented the preliminary budget to the Facilities and Finance Committee. The committee reviewed the preliminary budget and asked Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz some questions. This evening, Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz will present the preliminary proposed budget for the 2015-16 academic year to the board. Members of the board will be provided an opportunity to ask questions or make comments regarding the proposed budget. We will then move into our public comment section, where members of the public can also ask questions regarding the public. After questions by the board and questions by the public, the board will vote on whether or not to adopt the preliminary budget. If the preliminary budget is approved, then Mr. Juskowitz will submit the approved preliminary budget this Friday to the Executive County Superintendent for his review and approval. Once the Executive County Superintendent approves our preliminary budget, the board will vote on the final budget on April 27, 2015. Now I'd like to ask Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz to please present the preliminary budget.
Everyone, thank you for being here. I always appreciate seeing your smiling faces. Okay, so tonight we're going to be presenting the preliminary budget. All right, that means basically the first go round that the board has had, well, maybe around the fourth. Okay, so let's turn the clicker, see if that works.
Try the computer. The arrow key.
Ah, there we go, it's good. All right. Sorry, folks. All right, so we're going to start with the needs and goals, because when you're putting a budget together, one of the driving forces in putting that budget together has to do with the needs and goals of the district. This year, when we were doing it, if you recall a couple of board meetings ago, we talked about a strategic plan that was put together with teachers, administrators, community members, and Gwen Thornton from New Jersey School Boards. And it was presented here a couple of meetings ago. That strategic plan set forth these four goals, all right? And it really started with an academically flexible and balanced curriculum, technology as an integral part of our education. And we know that our teachers and our staff and our wonderful technology department are doing that now, but this is taking it a few steps further. It's going to be completely embedded in programs, all right? And those of you who have read Next Generation Science Standards would have a clearer picture of what that's going to look like and how that's going to change some of our curriculum for the future. We're also strengthening communication and working on some programs, as you'll see later on, that we're highlighting, that are going to improve some communication between home and school. And of course, our needs-based budget and facilities improvements. So now we're actually presenting this budget a little bit different than we've done in the past. We're getting right to what the majority's main concern is, which would be the tax implications. So I'm going to hand that over to Mrs. Jeff.
I wanted to start off by saying I'd like to thank those in the audience that came out to listen to this preliminary budget presentation. The process started a few months ago with compiling the budget, and it was an effort of many of those that are involved. The process starts with the principals compiling their staff's budget information based upon their needs for the next school year. Administration meets to discuss these needs to determine if they are in line within state spending limits. Finance committee meets with the school business administrator and superintendent to convey these needs, and the committee determines whether these needs meet with strategic plan of the district. The board in turn makes the recommendation to the rest of the board for this budget. The 2015-16 budget has over 624 account lines, and a little more than half of those lines have been reduced or remained the same. Now, as Dr. Clark had alluded to, tax implications. The proposed budget will increase the school tax levy by 1.49%. We are allowed to go to cap at 2%. This district has a history of trying to keep taxes within a manageable limit and not to overburden or overtaxed the taxpayer in the district. The new tax rate for the Clinton Township School District is going to be $1.07. Last year it was $1.06, and that's based on $100 worth of assessment on your home. The average assessed value of a home in Clinton Township is $396,055. This tax impact based on that value will be $35.54 for the year and $2.96 per month. This slide that you have in front of you just shows where our spending has gone over the last 3 years. As you can see, in 13-14, the budget was $26,264,075. This year's budget, this year's budget is $26,413,316. Between those 2 years, there was an increase in spending of $149,241. For the next upcoming year budget, 2015-2016, the budget is $26,543,304. That is an increase of $129,988. This slide represents our current year spending and just gives you an idea of where we are as far as spending. Our instruction is about 40% of our spending. Our support services are 19%. Administration is 7%. Operations and transportation is 15%. Benefits, 18%. And capital outlay, which is what we do for purchasing larger items in the district, is at 1%. You'll see that there's a slight difference for the 15-16 upcoming school year budget. Instruction went down by 1%. Support services at 17%. Administration, 7%. Operations and transportation, 14%. And benefits, which rose to 4% extra to 22%. And again, our capital projects are at 1%. I'd like to hand this back over to Dr. Clark at this point.
I just wanted to take a moment to share with you how we put together the next two slides, really why we put together the next two slides. The next two slides cover budget considerations, and they cover increases in expenditures as well as savings in expenditures. And we've received a number of questions that asked us why, if the district has declining enrollment, would the budget be going up at all? And so I'd like to answer that for you by showing you these two slides. When you look at the next two slides, and Mr. Jeskowitz explains them to you, you'll see that our fixed costs are increasing at a much higher rate than our taxes have actually gone up. Remember, the tax cap allows you, it's a cap on the tax levy. So you can go up 2% on that tax levy. That means that every time you look at costs increasing above that 2%, you have to find something else to cut in the budget to cover that, all right? Or you have to increase taxes. So when you look at this, what you'll see is a total number for the increases, and then there is a lower number for the tax, for the budget expenditure savings. And the difference between those two numbers comes to I'm going to round it out to about $130,000. And that $130,000, if you saw the slide previously, that the increase in the expenditures was 129 and change, that's that rounded off $130,000. That's not the increase in the tax levy, that's the increase in the expenditures, all right? So now I will let Mr. Jeskowitz report.
As you can see, and when we were putting this budget together, one of the major impacts for this budget is the healthcare costs. We're basically budgeting about 14% for those costs. At this juncture, we've been told by our consultants that we deal with our health benefits, the budget between 12% and 15%. Board elected to be a little bit safer and go with 14%. And you can see well, that budget number has increased. It's close to this, just a little over $600,000. One of the driving forces behind that number is we had a waiver process. A lot of people don't have benefits, aren't receiving the waivers, thus we have more people that are going back on benefits and driving that cost up. In addition to that, we also have a prescription plan that is also going up 12%. So between those two items, that is where you're seeing that $600,000 increase. Second, we have our general insurance with the district. That's our liability, our umbrella insurance, student accident insurance, so on and so forth. That is going up 6%, which equates to $24,000. Next, I have an increase for utilities at 2.5%.
had equated to an additional $15,000. As many of you know, we had a very cold winter. The building is nice and warm, so that incurs another cost to the district. Contracted salaries. We all know that there is a contract that needs to be settled at this point. And that is why that is there. It's to be determined once it does settle. Hopefully, we'll be able to, you know, show where those ones are. We have additional technology to the tune of about $140,000. Dr. Clark, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, I can. You'll see later on as we talk about some program highlights and the embedded technology. If you think back to the strategic plan and what's driving any improvements that we're making in the district, I know that we had a three-year plan to involve Chromebooks in our classroom due to the Common Core changes and getting ready for ARC. We're now experiencing and living through PARC, and that plan actually was a very good plan. I'm really proud, frankly, of the Board of Education that 3 years ago when we put that plan together, they understood it, they moved it forward, and it's really been holding us in good stead for these tests that we've been experiencing along with our fabulous staff. And so what we're doing is we're expanding the embedding of that technology with more Chromebooks and carts, some iPads for our lower grades. Are there any music teachers here tonight? I don't see a music teacher. Okay, I went in to observe music classes. This, by the way, is a lesson in why you should have a superintendent observe your class. As I went into that class, we talked about the wonders of what iPads could really do in our music program. I spoke to the board about it. We're adding music iPads into the program for our music classes. So we're doing iPads for younger grades, more Chromebooks, in really grades 2 classrooms right through grade 6. So that's what's coming forward. And I'm going to jump into staffing here. We're adding another position for a district technology person, so district tech support to help us all out. Because the more we have, the more we need that support. So, and I'll go into curriculum and program later on in program highlights for you.
Lastly, we have the additional of an out-of-district placement. A student needs to go out of district as far as tuition and transportation. And we always have to make sure that we have enough information for us to take care of that child when we go out of district. So that brings our total to about $971,000. In preparing this budget. Now we had some budget savings. Over the last 2 years or so, transportation has been a little difficult thing that's been in this district. There's been people to do some routing in the district, and our routes have been running more efficiently. And with that being said, we were able to look at the efficiency of those routes. It was a dollar savings cost that was involved in those routes to the tune of about Next, we had a reduction in short-term borrowing. We were going through some capital projects at one point in time, and we didn't have enough money coming back to the state to sustain the university school district for some of those costs. At one point, we didn't take out a loan, and there was a $12,000 interest that was associated with obtaining that loan because the money was needed to pay the vendors and to get the value done at that point. That is no longer needed. So that was another savings that, or a piece that came out of the budget that we put in for next year. We had an actuarial analysis where there's a reduction for pension plans. That is something that the state gives us a number to budget for every year, and there was a saving that was achieved there. That number is not included by us, it's basically included by the state. Next, we had a reduction in gasoline usage. last few years, we haven't been needing as much or equipment and vehicles. Plus, we get a very cheap rate since it's purchased with Pan Mountain purchases their gas from the state. And it's already low rate. So that was also put into the equation. Workers' compensation insurance, we actually see a difference in that. The amount for that was lower due to the fact that we had not had federal claims over the past year or so. So that was given to us the savings. Next, we have reduction in staffing. That is four people reducing the staff members in addition with their benefits. Other is we have very many small little things that we look over again. As I stated earlier, there's 624 pounds on the budget. So all those little small items that were cut and slashed by 500 or 1,000 were all included in that line. That came to a total of $841. As you notice from the prior slide, you had $974, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. There is an increase in spending of about $130,000. What we're showing here is last year, the tax levy last year was $22,580,498. As I stated earlier, we could have gone by the law to a 2% cap, but we didn't. We went up to 1.49%. So our tax levy will be increasing to $338,244. Again, the tax levy is something that is completely separate from the expenditures. This is kind of the revenue stream. Here we take our expenses, subtract out what our state aid number is, and the remaining balance comes in the form of taxes. So with the $338,000, tax levy is one of only a little less than 1.5%. Our state aid here in the district has remained flat. Last year was $2,088,009. It is again the same for this year. Very few districts this past year that have received increase in state aid, and we were not. I'll turn the program back over to Dr. Clark.
I just thought that it would be beneficial to just include a few of the program highlights from this budget. So we are incorporating in this budget full-day kindergarten and the materials and the support staff that we talked about in our discussions of full-day kindergarten, so that additional clerical support in the nurse's office and lunch aid. And of course, some materials for those classrooms. I also wanted to share that we're doing some scheduling changes to increase math, language arts, science, and social studies instructional time at the middle school and at Round Valley School. I'm going to take a walk back in time to when I was first hired here 3 years ago. And I went and spoke to teachers, to community members, PTA, and board members, and across the board, everyone said to me, we need to look at the schedule at the middle school. We need more instructional time for our students, particularly in math and language arts. And now, when you look at the new generation science standards, certainly science, and we have to look at social studies. So it was very difficult for me. I wish I could have waved a magic wand and changed that schedule immediately. I could not. It just didn't work. We put together, Ms. Hammond put together a group of faculty members who really looked at that schedule and came up with a few options of what we could do to make some changes. One of the caveats was that we wanted to maintain the middle school model. So we did not want to change that middle school model. It was important to the philosophy of the district, to the school, to who we are. And so that was part of what we wanted to keep. The teachers worked very hard to come up with some options for us. It was not an easy task because when they made the recommendations and the possibilities, they knew that that would move some staff around. And that's a very hard thing for all of us to look at and come to terms with. But at the end of the day, we wanted to provide the best program for the students. So one of the things that is changing as this schedule moves forward is world language in Clinton Township has been a core subject, meaning it got equal time to language arts and math. And it's part of what created the issue where language arts and math was getting a very small minutes per week. And so we're changing that from a core subject to the unified arts cycle at the middle school. The schedule works, took a lot of time. I really appreciate the work that these teachers did. Really, they're unsung heroes because it was a very hard thing to do and it took a lot of time and frankly, a lot of courage. And we brought that to the, they've been working, by the way, for just about a year now. They've tried it before, couldn't make it happen, and went back to work again this year. This was done in an effort to improve instruction. It had nothing to do with the budget. As it turns out, we have huge increases in our health benefits line, and it does make a difference in the budget for the taxpayers, but it was never intended as the original goal. The original goal was to improve instruction. The same thing with the Round Valley schedule, although that really is just moving some things around. There is really no change in the world language schedule at Round Valley at this point. I would like to share that Lexia and Membeam are two programs that we are incorporating next year. Membeam is for eighth graders. It's an electronic vocabulary program. Those of you who have high schoolers know that it's being utilized up at North in the high school, which will make a very nice and easy transition for our eighth graders. Lexia is an electronic interactive language arts support program. And it does connect home and school. I will tell you, it is very teacher friendly because I was a language arts teacher, seems like a lifetime ago. And I was very concerned about the amount of change in our subject areas over the last couple of years and the amount of really time and effort that's created in terms of lesson planning. And one of the lovely things about Lexia is when the child is working through it, lessons will pop up for the teacher that are completely done already. So the teacher does no longer, they no longer have to create those lessons. They're completely done, and you can utilize them with the students. So it's a very easy transition for students and teachers, and there is a homeschool connection along with it. And we talked a little bit about the additional technology, hoping to embed more of that instruction within the classroom as per our strategic plan discussions, so that, you know, there used to be technology and there used to be curriculum, all right? And really what should drive technology is curriculum drives technology and what we do with it. Right now, it's becoming, as we move to the and next year, it's becoming really, they're a mesh together, all right? So So that technology is really part of every classroom in the district. Okay? So we're just going to bring you back for a review of the tax implications. You saw those before, but we just wanted to remind you of where those numbers come in again. For the average assessed home, the yearly impact would be $3,554, monthly $296. We wanted to take a moment to review the budget calendar. Today is the presentation and the board voting on a preliminary budget. March 20th, that preliminary budget is sent to the county for their approval in the state. And then April 27th, it comes back to the board after review, possibly changes, suggestions, the board thinks about some things. And then there's a final budget public hearing and approval. And then hopefully in May or sometime in the spring, we try to talk to the town council and the mayor about what we've been doing and talking about, what's upcoming with the school district. I would also like to share with you, this is going to go online tomorrow on our website, but we're doing something additional this year. So I'm just going to come back to those questions and thank you, all right? But there's an addendum that we're putting online so that you can go online and look at some other items as you review this budget. So calculating the tax rate, cost per pupil. I gave you two different options of doing that. You can compare those and the pros and cons. Different pieces from Budget 101, the enrollment impact, school choice numbers, how they're trending, and a summary of the state aid. Let's see if I'm getting this matter backwards to where I wanted it. Okay, so we're down to questions, and thank you.
Any members of the Board of Education have any comments or questions for Dr. Clark or Mr. Juskowitz relative to this preliminary budget presentation?
I have a question.
Jenny, go first.
When will we know about the health insurance? When will we get the numbers on health insurance, on what percentage it will be increased by?
I won't find that out sometimes. They have their meetings early. I could find out as early as July.
Okay.
Or I could find out as late as early November.
Couple of questions. So first, there's a, I don't know if everybody has it in the back of the calculation. You've got what appears to be in the calculation pages for us a $3,000 typo increase. You're showing $388,000 increase.
Kevin, can you speak into the mic? I can't hear you.
Sorry. Can anybody hear me now? On the calc pages, on the addendum, there appears to be what it looks to be a $50,000 typo. I'm showing on the calc pages an increase of 388. The increase is 338, correct? Okay. Because that changes it from 1.49% to 1.72%. So it's just that, just so the board is clear, if you're looking at the calc pages, there is a small error in that. Follow up. It's the addendums to the report. Follow up. So as I run the math here, we've got state aid, our tax levy. These are the revenue sources for the district, right? And the debt service tax levy.
I tried to leave the debt service out because the debt service has been pretty much voted upon. When you go out and do the referendum, it's already been voted upon for that area or aspect of the budget. I just included the current budget.
Okay.
Just to make things simplistic.
Okay. Because the debt service levy is going up a small amount.
Correct.
And then the total is actually going to be higher by a couple of million dollars. The total budgeted for expenditure this coming year will actually include debt service, will it not?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
But it's not considered in the...
Because it doesn't, it's not going into the spending for the district.
Correct, because that's been basically set forward. I probably alluded to this at an earlier meeting, that I'm looking to possibly refinance those bonds at this point with a cheaper interest rate. That discussion will start with the finance company that we use, probably sometime in August, and there's a possibility we could have some savings in October.
Okay, yeah.
So that's quite possible.
Last year, there was going to be no savings on a refi. I think our last refi was 3 years ago, and it worked out pretty well. Okay, thank you.
That's my job, to look at that every year.
Awesome, AJ, thank you.
Gina, you're done? Anybody else have any questions for Mr. Juskowitz or Dr. Clark?
I had some line item questions. I just have to turn to the right page. I'm on page five. So on page five, under line items, it says school-sponsored co-curricular salaries, $23,379. Beneath that, it says school-sponsored co-curricular supplies and materials. And on the following page, it says school-sponsored athletics coaching salaries. So what's the difference between a co-curricular salary versus a coaching salary?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that those are the items that we have. One would be for, I guess, a coach, basketball coach. And the others, I'm going to assume, and I may need a little help from some of the principals. Mrs. Hammond?
So then these are stipends for the clubs, and the other is stipends for sports. The school sponsored ones. Right. The next page is sports.
Oh.
At the top. And then professional services for athletics, would that be the facilities, like the field rentals?
I didn't hear your question.
The school-sponsored athletic, other purchases, professional services?
Yeah, that's part of
the umpire, the referee, everything that we have to have on the outside.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions from the board? Okay. Thank you very much. On behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank Mr. Juskowitz and Dr. Clark and her staff for putting together a very good budget. We know how much work it takes and the involvement of time and effort and the amount of detail that you have to look through in order to put together this budget. So I want to thank you both for all of your time and effort. This budget really accomplishes the goals of what this Board of Education is looking for. In terms of two goals. One is to provide the highest level of instruction for our students in the classroom while being fiscally responsible. And I feel very confident as being part of this process in facilities and finance and seeing the presentation this evening that we were able to accomplish that for 2015-16. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. And what I'd like to ask first is that any questions that come to the mic are specific to the budget so that we can have any questions from the public relative to the budget first. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public except for the budget aspect that we introduced this evening. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will bring to the microphone, and relative to the budget, again, we will do our best to answer any of those questions. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board on the budget, please step up to the mic, state your name and address, and we'll be limiting this portion to 40 minutes. Any questions on the budget? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor then to any comments on agenda items only to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions relative to agenda items? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to now open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section will be only for comments made by the public on school-related matters only. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the comments section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. To guarantee a fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair and consistent and equitable way. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Would anybody else like to address the board?
Hi, I'm Stephanie Yeager. I teach here, but I'm representing myself as a parent in the district. was approved for the next school year. At our last meeting, I listened to people stand and speak from our community. I listened to one compassionate person speak about how she grew up Jewish in Hunterdon County her whole life without having her holidays recognized. She reported that she was fine, she had accepted she was a minority, and she went on to say that she supported the board's decisions because once they acknowledged the Jewish holidays, other religions might expect the same, and where would the line be drawn? This comment has been marinating in my mind over the course of the last month. I've gone from somewhat indifferent, because it doesn't directly impact my family, to truly sad and disheartened. People in our community, people who contribute to making this the place that it is, have requested that we recognize their religion, and we ultimately decided to deny them 50% of what they requested, which amounts to one day. Beginning in second grade, our standards ask children to acknowledge differences in the points of view of others. At Round Valley, we hold weekly hour-long meetings with our students as part of our ABC time where we build community. And we do this to preemptively try to combat the lack of empathy that allows bullying to occur. These social competency lessons aim to get children to take the perspectives of others. I can't help but think that these goals are a little lofty, considering some adults in the world are struggling to do that ourselves. Read the comments under any online article that includes the categorization of people, whether it be Republican, Democrat, Black, White, Jewish, Christian, whatever, in the heading, and you're sure to find examples in the comments of why we can never model enough perspective taking and compassion. There was a tragedy with a child, and the parents are quick to be blamed, a story about public assistance, and there's a rant about the lazy. The generalizations are fired off quickly, and these things evidence a lack of desire to understand other humans and an inability to take some different perspectives. But those comments represent people from all over. So while the world can be a scary place, I'd like to assume that our county is better. I'd like to believe that I've chosen to live and work in and among the most compassionate people that I can find. Are we really worried that we might have to show consideration to too many people? Once we afford the Jewish population the same luxury that the majority of us have enjoyed our entire lives, will other people in the community could ask for the same? And that's absolutely possible. But can we be too empathetic for the people in our own community, the people that are our neighbors, our local business owners, the friendly faces we bump into daily? I don't think so. And I'd love to lighten the mood right now by singing something like Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song, but I just can't pull that together. I just hope that we'll reconsider our position on the calendar and model by example empathy, compassion, and consideration for our community. Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, we will move.
I just wanted to comment on the school flight. I meant to do it as I was opening the budget and got distracted. So I apologize, but I did attend the show Into the Woods. I have to tell you, I couldn't imagine how middle school students were going to pull that show off. It was a very difficult show to do. A lot of difficult aspects. The scenery alone was challenging. And the two teachers and those kids were phenomenal. After I left the show, I sent the board a note and said, if you haven't gone to see it, go get tickets right away. It was great. The kids were beyond great. I sat here and I said to our two wonderful teachers at the end of the show, I said to them, ladies, I have spent all week pinching pennies and worrying about money and worrying about staff and programs and did we have enough? Were we doing the right things? And that kind of tears at you sometimes and worries your spirit. and after I came to see the show, I left joyous because I was reminded of what's so important for us to keep in mind, children first. So I love the show myself. I saw many wonderful parent volunteers working very hard behind stage, in front of the stage, in the hallways, and our wonderful administrators at the middle school. So I just wanted to say thank you. And in my note to the board, I said, this is why we're doing the budget we're doing. This is what we're working for. So it was a very nice reminder. Thank you.
Okay, moving on, we have two very short committee reports this evening. Mr. John Petuto is the chair for our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Petuto, would you like to give your report and then move your action item, please?
Sure. Finance and Facilities Committee met two times since our last Board of Ed meeting, and both of those meetings were essentially to discuss the budget that Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz presented to us tonight. So the only agenda item we have is action item 15-FF-133, which is the acceptance of the preliminary budget. So I'd like to put forward a motion for the approval of that agenda item.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Gina? Any additional questions relative to the budget for members of the board? Nope, seeing none. Mr. Juskowitz, can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. McKinnon?
No.
Mr. Sturgis? And Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Moving on to report of our personnel negotiations committee, Mr. McKinnon, please give your report, sir.
So we have two action items on the agenda, both put on by the superintendent. We have action item 15PN-157. This is the Board of Education to accept with regret the resignation of Francis Kelly effective May 6th of 2015. We also have action item 15PN-1-158. For the Board of Education to approve an individual as athletic advisor for the 2014-15 school year with the stipend to coach lacrosse. I would put forth a motion for action item 15PN-157.
Thank you. I'm looking for a second on PN-157, please.
Second.
Kevin.
I want this one. I'll second.
Any questions for Ms. McKinnon? Nope, seeing none, may we have a roll call on 157, please?
Mr. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Hand?
Yes.
Ms. McHugh?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Abstain.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Graham?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. I'd like to ask Mrs. Hand, please, to discuss PN-158, please.
I'm just seeking a motion for action item 15PN-158, which is the individual as the athletic advisor for the lacrosse boys lacrosse team.
Looking for a motion?
I believe we just voted on it.
Gina made the motion.
Oh,
looking
okay.
For a second, please.
Second.
For Kevin? May we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
No.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
I have to abstain, please.
Motion passes.
Thank you. I'd like to open up the floor now to second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We will follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section of agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone and state your name. I'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Okay, seeing none, I'd like to close the floor on second recognition of the public. Mr. Juskowitz, can you please read our statement for executive session?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 and 7 requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of the terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body, the collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. The time now is 8.
I'm looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting. Dan, Kevin, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, excuse me, now looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Second. Maria and Gina? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
I was going to say.